We're up to Shmuel Beis, Perek Tes Zayin. Avshalom put together his rebellion. He gathered his supporters. He came into Yerushalayim. David also made plans for how he was going to deal with it. Itai Hagiti, somebody that he got to know when he was in Gath, came with 600 men, and he joined David. David had a friend, Hushai Ho'arki, and he was already an older person. It was difficult for him to travel around with David. But David said, you go to Yerushalayim, and I'll know that I have an ally and somebody I can count on that will be in the capital. Sadok and Avyosa, the Kohanim, he sent back with the Aron to Yerushalayim. And they were there with their sons. And if there would be any news, Hushai Ho'arki would be able to relate it to the Kohanim. The message could be sent back with Avyosa's son, Yehona's son, and Sadok's son, Achimat. The two sons would come and bring the news to David. And now David was on his way, leaving Yerushalayim by foot, going up Har HaZeisim. Perek Tezayin. The David over Amat Meharosh. David went a little bit past the summit. He reached the top of Har HaZeisim, went a little bit past that. V'netziva nar Mephibosheth likroso. Ziva, who was the slave of Mephibosheth, came to greet David. We had an incident, this appears three times in Shmuel Beis, this story about Ziva and his master Mephibosheth. Three different parts of the saga. In Perek Tes, David was looking to do a chesed with the family of Shaul. He had such a close bond with Yehona's son. He wanted somebody that he could deal favorably with. And at that point he heard that the household of Shaul had a slave by the name of Tziva. And he called to him and he asked that anybody remain from Shaul's royal household. And he was told Yehona's son had a son, Mephibosheth, who was lame. And David brought him, and Tziva told him he came from a place below, he was in below Davar, he was in this place, Lo Davar. So David brought him, Milo Davar, from that place. And David told him he could eat at the royal table. Mephibosheth would become part of the royal family. He'd be able to eat at the royal table. At that point, we mentioned, the Gemara says in Shabbos, there was a discussion. One opinion is that Tziva said Lashon Hara. David was looking for somebody to do chesed with and somebody that he could show favor and show, treat with importance. So Tziva said, yeah, Yehonasan has a son, Mephibosheth, but he is below Devar, which could be understood to mean as if he has no Torah. Lo Devar, no words of Torah. He doesn't have Torah. He's not worthy of sitting at the Rebbe's Tish, at the royal table, at the table of David HaMelech. David sent, and he found out he was Milo Devar. He was really full of Torah. For some reason, Tziva seemed to be out to cast his master in a negative light. That was the end of the story in Perek Tes. Now we have, again, Tziva comes with Mephibosheth, and we'll see the third, later on, in Perek Yud Tes, again, we'll discuss this. At this point, David has reached the top of Har HaZeisim, and Tziva, who is the Nar of Mephibosheth, again, Mephibosheth was a grandson of Shaul HaMelech. His father was Yehona's son, who was David's such a close friend. But he was from the family. Mephibosheth was Shaul's grandson. Tziva, who was his slave, the Nar of Mephibosheth, the lad of Mephibosheth, came likroso to greet David. V'tzemer chamorim, he had a pair of donkeys, chavushim, that was saddled up to carry a load. V'aleim osayim lechem, there were 200 breads on these donkeys. U'meyot simukim, 100 raisins, 100 clusters of raisins. U'meyot kayetz, and they dried the figs in the summer. That's why it's called kayetz, from the summer. And they had 100 of these dried out figs. V'nevel yoyin, and a flask of wine. So they brought plenty of food for David's group. a substantial amount of food. I don't know how long this would have lasted. They actually, they had hundreds of people. But he brought 200 breads, and I guess he brought him the tzimukim, like in the army ration, they have chocolate or something. He needs something to boost the energy. I assume these are rich in energy. He brought the raisins and the dried figs, and he brought some wine. Benevol yoin, a container of wine. The pasuk says, "Vehine, behold, this is a chiddush. This is something unusual. David had left Yerushalayim on foot, and nobody sent along supplies except for this slave came with supplies. Nobody else. There were a number of people who joined David. We mentioned those who joined, but basically nobody else sent food or supplies or help. He wasn't gone that long, but it was still kind of surprising that Siva was the only one who came." And the Mefarshim say simply that Avshalom was going into Yerushalayim. Anybody who was staying in Yerushalayim was afraid to send supplies to David. It's like you're helping out the enemy. How's Avshalom going to take react to that? Siva was in an unusual situation. He came with the food. If any one of Avshalom's men would stop him and say, "Where are you going with all the supplies?" He could say, "My master sent me to David. It's not my idea, I'm just following orders." So Tziva himself was able to travel without being afraid of being personally in danger of his life, the fact that he's going to David. So he loaded up all these supplies. And he arrived, he met David. Vayomer HaMelech al Tziva. So the king said to Tziva, "Mo'elelach, what does all of this stuff have to do with you? What are you coming with all the supplies? What's the story behind it?" Vayomer Tziva, so Tziva said, "Hachamorim leveis HaMelech. The donkeys are for the royal household." Meaning the women on David HaMelech's house who were traveling, the Pilagshim, the concubines, were left behind in Yerushalayim. But the wives and the other women, the base HaMelech, the royal household, will have the donkeys Lirkov to ride. V'halechem v'kayitz, the bread and the dried figs, lechol hana'orim. And I assume the grapes also, everything dried out. Lechol hana'orim will be for the lads to eat. The food is for the boys who are going with you, the men. V'hayayin, and the wine, there wasn't that much of it. It's not like they're going to be drinking wine. They'll still be drinking water. There's a navel, a container of wine. It's slishtos hayoif b'midbar. Whoever's weary and just exhausted and they need a little boost, a shot or two, they give them a little bit of wine to invigorate them. The oyef, the one who's weary in the desert, the yoif, should have a little to drink, a little wine. This is the proper way to speak to a king. It's not like David HaMelech needs it. He's not bringing it for David, even though the intention was for David. But it's as if the king doesn't need anything. The donkeys are for the base HaMelech, for the household. And this is for the boys and for the weary. He doesn't say it's actually intended for David, but of course this was a present for David to do as he wanted with it. Vayomer HaMelech, the king said, "Vaye ben adunecha, where is the son of your master? Where is Mephibosheth?" As he was already a son from Yehonah's son, this Tziva was a slave in Shaul's family. He was a slave of Shaul. Shaul was killed, and then he became, and Yehonasan was killed in that war, and now he was a slave for Mephibosheth. But where is Mephibosheth? Where is the son of your master? Why didn't he come along? Vayomer Tziva el HaMelech. So Tziva said to the king, "Hinei Yoshev Yerushalayim. Behold, Achidish, can you imagine this? He's staying in Yerushalayim. Ki Omar, because Mephibosheth said, Hayom, today's the day. Today's going to happen. Yoshivu li beis Yisrael. Klal Yisrael will return to me es mamlechus ovi, my father's monarchy." Shaul lost the malchus, and Klal Yisrael, besides the fact that David had been anointed, David was popular with the people also. The people loved David, and they wanted David as a king. And now all of a sudden they see that Malchus Beis David is not so good. There's been one scandal after another, and there were problems with David, and now Avshalom, his son, is rebelling against him. Mephibosheth is staying in Yerushalayim. He wants to be right near the throne. And the way he's going to see what's happening, but once you have this splintering factions within Malchus Beis David, it could be the people will say, you know, we had enough with this. We had enough with David HaMelech and his family. Let's go back to Shaul, the good old days. Hayom, today they're going to bring back the Malchus of my father. Did Tziva initially plan to say that? Could be. Could be Tziva, as we mentioned before. It could be Tziva in general said anything bad he could about his master. He always portrayed him in a negative light. Or it could be when he heard David say, where's Ayei ben Adonecha? Where is the son of your master? Meaning he felt that David was suspicious and David himself didn't trust Mephibosheth. Why didn't Mephibosheth come? It could be that question threw Tziva onto this path. But now Tziva is going to say, Mephibosheth didn't come because he didn't care about David. Now, we have to keep in mind that Mephibosheth was lame. He wasn't able to walk. And we'll see later on in Perek Yud Tes, Mephibosheth is going to come, and he's going to say he wanted to go, and Tziva loaded up all the supplies, the slave, and Tziva left without waiting. He drove away. But he said, I really wanted to come. And there'll be a discussion, did David HaMelech believe him, or did he not believe him? Over here it seems that David accepted the words of Tziva. Vayomer HaMelech L'Tziva, the king said to Tziva, Hine l'cho kol Hashem l'Mephibosheth. Behold, I'm giving you everything Mephibosheth owned. Mephibosheth had property from Shaul HaMelech. He had a lot of wealth from his grandfather, from Shaul. I'm taking everything that Mephibosheth had. If he's going with the enemy, he wants to get back the throne. It's all confiscated, and we're giving it to you. Tziva's now going to own it all. Vayomer Tziva Hishtachabesi, and Tziva said, I bow down as a sign of humility to David HaMelech. Emsachein Beinecha Adoni HaMelech. I should just find favor in your eyes, my master the king. That's it for the story of Tziva and Mephibosheth now. We'll get to it in a few weeks, exactly when finally David meets Mephibosheth in person and discusses exactly what transpired, why Mephibosheth didn't come. The Gemara discusses this in Shabbos. It would seem at this point that David accepted whatever Tziva said. And if what Tziva said is Lashon Hara, it would seem that David accepted Lashon Hara. Or Tziva said Mephibosheth didn't come because he wants the throne. So David said, okay, that's it. We're taking everything he has and we're giving it to you, to Tziva, to the slave. If that's the case, the Mephoshim learned that could be the connection that immediately David got his punishment. Pasuk Hey, Uvo HaMelech David Ad Bachurim. The king David came to the place Bachurim. Vihine Misham, and behold, out of this place, all of a sudden there appears an Ish Yotze. A man comes out of this city, this village, Mimishpachas Beis Shaul, and he was from the family of Shaul. Ushmo Shimi ben Gera, and his name was Shimi ben Gera. Yotze Yotze, he came out. He came out cursing. Yotze Yotze Umakalel, he came out cursing David HaMelech. Among the main averis that David did, Lashon Hara, the Gemara discusses it in Shabbos on Daf Nun Vav. But Lashon Hara is not considered to be one of the major offenses. It could be, I say that it's questionable whether he did accept this Lashon Hara or not. And if he did, he immediately got his punishment. It wasn't like it was, he did it and he got his punishment. Could be he did tshuva on it. We'll discuss it more in depth in Perek Yud Tes. But as soon as he accepted this and he gave this decision, everything goes to Tziva. Out comes Shimi ben Gera, and he curses David HaMelech. This place, Bachurim, the Targum says Almas. Some learn it comes from the word to be like Helam, to be hidden. La'alim is to hide something. It was from some village that it wasn't expected. It wasn't like there was a major city. He had crossed over Arazasim, and it was like out of nowhere. He came from the village Bachurim, but it wasn't a big city. It was like unusual that somebody would come from here, and also the fact that he met David, he obviously came with intention that he wanted to curse out David HaMelech. It could also be that the word almas is simply the meaning of bachurim. Bachurim is the Hebrew word. It means a young bachur, a young man. And an alma or an elam means bemizeho elam. Elam means a young boy also. It could be simply almas is the targum of bachurim. In any case, Shimi ben Gera came out and he cursed David. The term makalel can mean two things, and Shimi did them both. A curse is, on one hand, it's like a tefillah, it's like a prayer that somebody should have a misfortune. Whereas a curse would be if somebody would say, drop dead. So hey, somebody should drop dead, that's a curse. And if he says it with Hashem's name, it's worse. But it's like a tefillah, it's like a prayer, like a hope, like a, you're asking Hashem, this misfortune should happen to somebody. Chas v'shalom, that's a klala. Klala also can mean, it's used this way in Shmuel Aleph Perek Gimel, klala means to treat somebody as unimportant, as having no significance. That here David's coming out, and he came out umakalel, we're going to say he, on one hand he wishes that David HaMelech will get terrible punishments, and he's also makalel, he treats David as a cow, as a lightweight. He's not important, he's not significant, he's nobody to reckon with, he's cow. He's unimportant. And he came out umakalel, but he was cursing David HaMelech with both connotations. Both saying how worthless David is, and how he deserves punishment. It could be the pasuk is also juxtaposed to this story with Tziva. David HaMelech believed Tziva that Mephibosheth wanted the throne back. And it was really a logical assumption, as we see in the next pasuk. There was still an undercurrent, and there were people who did hated David and wanted the throne to go back to Shaul. Shaul's family. Shaul wasn't living. But here you have, right after the story of Tziva, that he said Mephibosheth wants the throne, immediately afterwards you have somebody from the family, Mimishpachas Beis Shaul, from the family of Shaul, and he's going to curse out David and say that David doesn't is worthless and he doesn't deserve the throne. So you see that could be it wasn't Lashon Hara, and could be it was put together to show that David had ways of knowing that it was the truth. By Yisakel Bo'avonimus David, the Shimi ben Gera came out, and he started cursing at a distance. He was hollering from wherever he was. And as he got closer, by Yisakel Bo'avonimus David, he started pelting David with stones. V'eskol Abdei HaMelech David, and together with all of the servants that David HaMelech had, v'chol Ha'om, there was a multitude of people, v'chol HaGiboyrim, and he had mighty warriors. And Shimi ben Gera didn't care about anything. He's like, there's a whole force of hundreds of thousands of people. We know Itzei HaGiti had 600 men, and we can imagine there were a lot of other people with David. And Shimi's like a one-man person over here. He comes out of the village, he's cursing and he's throwing the stones. V'chol HaGiboyrim, and all the mighty men, Mimino, Mismolo, from the right and from the left of David. And Shimi ben Gera doesn't care about any of them. He's cursing and he's throwing the stones. We'll see Shimi ben Gera was actually one of the greatest chachamim of the generation. The Gemara says in Brachas, he was the Rebbe of Shlomo HaMelech. In other words, David got the best person to teach Shlomo HaMelech, who was the chacham mikolodim, the wisest of men. And his Rebbe was Shimi ben Gera. And Shimi ben Gera is now the one who's going to come out, and he notices every fault of David in the worst way possible, and he's now the opposition. V'cho amar Shimi b'kalolo. And now the Navi tells us the exact words. V'cho amar, so he said. This is an exact quote. We're going to see that David lets Shimi be. He does not give Shimi a punishment. Even though he's able to, he leaves Shimi alone. Later on his deathbed, he tells his son Shlomo HaMelech, also not to just kill Shimi outright, but Shimi really has an offense for which he should be killed. And David dismissed it. Shlomo should do something to see that if Shimi does another offense, Shimi should end up dying. You know, Shimi deserves to be killed. We'll see in a moment why David let him go, but later on David's going to see to it that Shimi ben Gera gets what he deserves. To speak this way to the Melech Yisrael, So the king of Klal Yisrael, the one who's anointed by the word of Hashem, is a capital offense. Bako Amar Shimi Bakalo. This is what Shimi said in his curse. Say, go out, go out. Either go out of Yerushalayim, go out of the country, just get out of here. Say, Isha Domin. You, David HaMelech, who are the man of bloodshed. You know how much blood David spilled? Shaul had a son, Ish-Boshes, who after Shaul and the three sons were killed in war, Ish-Boshes had the throne. Ish-Boshes was killed. Shaul had a general, Avner Ben-Ner, who was a great tzaddik and a great person. Avner Ben-Ner was killed by Yoav ben Tzeruiah, by David's general. And in both instances, David mourned and he said, "Hespate him," and he went after the coffin and he showed that how upset he was. Shimon Ben-Ger says it was all a put on. We know the story. You wanted to knock off your political opponent. You're the Ish Hadam and you're responsible for all this bloodshed. The blood of Ish-Boshes and Avner Ben-Ner. And it could be he's even referring to Uriah HaChiti, the story when he took Bathsheba and he caused that Bathsheba's husband was killed in battle. There's a lot of bloodshed because of David. He's a man of blood. Ish HaDamim. The Ish HaBelial, and he's a wicked person. Belial means a Russia. A Russia. Referring to the fact that he took an Ashes Ish. As he took Bathsheba as a wife, Bathsheba had been a married woman. Heshiv Olecha Hashem. Hashem has returned, has brought back on you, Kol Demei Beishol, all of that bloodshed from the household of Shaul. Even the fact that Shaul's family was killed, one of the main tainas on complaints against Shaul's family was he wiped out the city of Nov. It was the city of Kohanim in Nov. David HaMelech had gone there, and the Kohen Gadol Achimelech gave him some bread. And when he heard that the city of Nov supported David, and David was rebelling against him, against Shaul, Shaul had the whole city wiped out as supporters of this mutiny. They're supporting David. All of it. And therefore, as a result, Shaul was killed with his sons in battle. He killed the city of Nov, his family was killed. And that can all be traced back to David HaMelech. Because David went there and they gave him the bread. It's all because of David. That's called the Mei Beishol. And the Mephoshim mentioned even more than that. David had fled from Shaul and he went to the Plishtim. This was at the end of Shmuel Aleph. The story is. And then the Plishtim were going to fight against Shaul. And David was going to join the battle, and then the officers of the Plishtim said, "We can't trust David to go with us." So David turned back and he didn't join the battle. But right after David had been among the Plishtim came to fight against Shaul, and then they won the war. They killed Shaul and the family. Shimon ben Gera could be accusing David of perhaps encouraging the Plishtim in what they did. He was the enemy. He looked at David as being an enemy of Shaul. David goes to the Plishtim, and then the Plishtim later on kill Shaul and the family and win the war. Could be that's all because of the instigation and the encouragement and the support of David, that David wants the Plishtim to wipe out Shaul's family. So Shimi looks at David as being responsible for all this bloodshed. And he says, it's come back. Heshiv Alecha Hashem. Hashem has returned on you all of that bloodshed from the Beis Shaul. Hashem Alachta Tachtov. You took over the Malchus. You took over the throne instead of him. And because you usurped the throne and you took it from Shaul and you caused all that bloodshed, they were all killed. David had a son, Amnon, we learned, that was killed. Hashem is just paying you back. Vayitein Hashem es hamelucha. Hashem has given over the melucha, the yad Avshalom benecha, and the hands of Avshalom. It's like stressing Hashem did this. The success of Avshalom, you know, it's here David HaMelech was the king. All of a sudden Avshalom is able to rally the country to support him. He's such a popular, charismatic person that everyone goes to Avshalom. It's a divine message. B'derech HaTeva, you wouldn't have expected David HaMelech to lose the Malchus. What happened? It's Hashem is obviously gave the Malucha in the hands of Avshalom ben Echa, in the hands of your own son Avshalom is rebelling against you. You're getting a punishment that Shaul never got. That his own child should turn against him. Not only that, but you're still persisting. You're still with the same evil. Could be he's referring to the fact that David is still married to Bathsheba. Or v'hincha b'ra'asecha, you might have gotten paid back for some of it, but you're still to be afflicted with the evil you're doing. You deserve even more, he said to David. Ki ish domim ota. You're a man of bloodshed, and whatever you got is not enough. And there's more coming. This was the curse that Shimi said. The Gemara says that Shimi, when David HaMelech told over his son Shlomo what Shimi said, he said, he gave me a klola nimretzes, an explicit, a powerful curse. But the Gemara learns out the word nimretzes is what's called a notrikon. Each letter stands for another word. Nimretzes. The nun stands for noif. He called him an adulterer because he took Bathsheba. The mem, he called him a mamzer. And the reish, he called him a rotzeach, a murderer. And the tzadi is tzorer, he's public enemy number one, he's ruining the whole country, he's ruining the nation. And the tough, nimretzes, the tough is, he called him a toeva, he's an abomination, he's disgusting, he's the impersonation of the worst traits and the worst things possible. And this is what Shimi comes out. He comes out alone. He's so caught up in this hatred of David. And he's blinded to seeing whatever David's greatness, and he just notices everything wrong, and this is the curse of Shimi ben Gera. And again, this is another example of seeing who David HaMelech is dealing with. In other words, he's opposed by great chachamim and great people, and yet he knows he's serving Hashem and he's doing what he's supposed to, and everything's in Nisoyan how he should react. Vayomer Avishai ben Tzruya. Again, David HaMelech, this family, Yoav ben Tzruya, now that we have the brother Avishai ben Tzruya. Avishai said El HaMelech to the king, Loma yekalel hakelev hameis hazeh. Why should this dead dog curse Es Adoni HaMelech, my master the king? Evrono, let me cross over now v'osira es rosho and remove his head. He's obviously not so close. It'll have to be Evrono. I'll pass over. I'll get to him. Let me go over there and kill him. V'osira es rosho, I'll remove his head. Something like that, to speak this way to you. And he's a Kelev Hameis. Who is he coming from? He's coming from the family of Shaul that was wiped out. The family was wiped out. The family's dead. And he's coming here, and he speaks to the king like this. He deserves to be thrown to the dogs. He's like a Kelev Mace, like a dead dog. Who's he to come and speak this way to David? It could be Avishai is just saying this because he's so angry and so has such a rage against the person who's coming out and cursing them. But the truth is, Shimi ben Gera he's l'chayra right. He's right. He's a morei b'malchus. He's rebelling against David HaMelech. This is also a time of war. Avshalom is rebelling. So this is like in war, he's showing he's with the enemy. So he deserves to be killed. There is possibly a slight saving grace. The Gemara learns out that the 6 months that David was fleeing from Avshalom, there's a chazal that he had the law of a commoner. Meaning, if a king does an aveira, a chatos, he brings a korban, asher nosi yechto, he brings a different korban than a plain person. At this point, these few months could be Avshalom had a din of a king, and David didn't. He had left the throne, he is on the run. Could be at this point he didn't have a din of a king. But exactly why he should be killed, whether it's Amori B'malchus, or whether he's part of the war, or whether just Avishai said that because he was so angry, but it seems Shimi did deserve to die. But Vayomer HaMelech, David HaMelech said he's not going to do it. Vayomer HaMelech. David is speaking now in the role of a king. Again, in Pasuk Hey, it referred to him as HaMelech David. The king David came to Bahurim. Here it just says Vayomer HaMelech. And by the way, when it was talking about when he spoke to the slave Tziva, also it used the words Melech, Vayomer HaMelech. In Pasuk Aleph, when it said David was fleeing on foot, the Novi says the words V'David Avar. Each time when it's referring to him as a plain person who's fleeing, he's called David. When he's speaking as the king, he's referred to as HaMelech. And Vayomer HaMelech, as the king, he now says, Ma leva lachem b'nei Tzruya? What is this for me and for you, the children of Tzruya? Why should we react? Avishai was the son of Tzruya. Why should we get involved? Ko yekalel. So he should curse. Ki Hashem amar lo kalel es David. Obviously Hashem told him he should curse David. Umi Yomar, so who could say Madu Sisa Cain? Why are you doing this? He's doing this, obviously, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The Ksiv, the way it's written, has a slightly different message. The king says, Ma leva lachem b'nei Tzruya, ki yekalel, when he curses? What do you care? V'chi Hashem amar lo kalel David? Did Hashem tell him to do it? It could be understood as two separate arguments David has. The first thing is, did Hashem tell him to curse? Like he's doing it on his own. What do you care? What do you care? Maliva lachem b'nei Tzruya. What is there between me and you, b'nei Tzruya? Why do we have to get involved? Somebody goes ahead and he curses. So what? He's cursing. It's not going to do any harm if we don't deserve it. So just ignore him. And if there is something to the curse, so then the decree, the way we read it, Ki Hashem amar lo kalel David, if there is something to it and Hashem told him to curse, so then again, if he's doing it on his own and it's not significant, so ignore it. And if there is something to the curse, because that's what Hashem wants, so again, there's nothing for us to do. That's what Hashem wants. Umi Yomar, who could say Madu Asisa Cain? Why did you do this? David obviously felt that this was all part of his Yisurim. This is what he was supposed to go through. And he had been told that somebody was going to rise up from his own household against him. And therefore, he didn't want to react. Shimi might be Chayav Misa. And he'll tell Shlomo to deal with it. But right now, for him as a person, he's got to accept it. And this is a punishment from Hashem. Shimi will get his punishment later in life. But right now, David is telling his men, we're not going to do anything. The way we read it, Ko Yekalel, so he should curse. It's almost as if David is saying, let him do it even more. Ma leva lachem b'nei Tzruya, what do you care the b'nei Tzruya? Ko Yekalel, so he should curse even more. Let him curse even more. It's not an embarrassment if he's going ahead and he's saying a curse and it doesn't apply to us and we're really righteous in the eyes of Hashem. So the curse is meaningless. Who would say, Madu Asisa King, why are you doing that? That's what David said as the king. He spoke forcefully. He spoke this way to the son of Tzruya, because we already know that Yoav ben Tzruya killed people on his own decision. He was a great person, but he did what he thought was right. And over here, that Avishai ben Tzruya referred to Shimi as a dead dog. David HaMelech could be felt, if he didn't speak to him harshly and forcefully, Avishai might take the law into his own hands. He called Shimi ben Gera a dead dog, and the next thing, he might try to put that into practice. So David said, as king, Vayomer HaMelech, do nothing. Leave him be. And Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer David, but now he's speaking as a one-on-one, as a person, as David. David's going to explain that. After all, you can always say that whenever a guy does an Aveira, if somebody steals, or somebody robs, or somebody hurts another guy, do nothing. Obviously, that's what Hashem wanted. And the Chovis HaLevavos learns Pasha that is so. In other words, whatever happens was going to happen anyways. And nobody can hurt me if it wasn't going to happen. But, of course, the person who does it is held responsible in Beis Din. As if a person's gonna fall and hurt himself, he would fall and hurt himself. But if somebody pushes him down, the one who pushes him is liable. So, Vayomer David al Avishai. Now David speaks to Avishai, and he explains. V'alkol avadav, and he speaks to his whole group, all of his servants. This is an unusual circumstance. You're right. Normally, I would take action, because if Shimi did the wrong thing, he deserves his punishment. But hine, see, a chiddush, this is something unusual. B'ni asher yotza mimei, the son that came out of my innards, the son who came from me, mevakesh es nafshi, is after my life. So obviously, this is a very unusual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing the natural love that a son has for his father to be perverted and twisted, and now Avshalom is out to kill David. So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing me to get a punishment that is Shelo Kederech HaOlam, totally unusual. My son is after me. Va'av ki ata, and especially now, Shimi comes out and he sees me fleeing, and he sees me at a low point in my career. Now! And Ben Hayamini, Shimi comes from the family of Shaul, and you can imagine the family of Shaul and the whole tribe of Binyamin feels bad about the fact that they lost the Malchus. So there's a lot of reasons and a lot of reasons for not to take action now. We can understand why Shimi did what he did, possibly. And of course, the main argument is that obviously this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing. Hanichu lo vikalel. Leave him. Let him be. Let him curse. Ki amar lo Hashem. That's what Hashem told him. The Abar Benelf refers to these psukim as the Devarim Kedoshim, the holy words of David HaMelech. Now, as you see the greatness of David HaMelech, Shimi ben Gera was one man, and could be Shimi figured that David HaMelech would let him be. I mean, why Shimi, who was such a wise man, would take such a risk is hard to understand. But David has his men. And Shimi comes out as a single person. He's so great. And he heaps scorn at David, and he pelts them with stones. He tries to get a reaction. It seems like he's looking to pick a fight. And David just lets him be. David himself privately had what to say about this. Mizmor leDavid b'varcho mipnei Avshalom b'no. There's a kapitel in Tehillim, the third one, where David HaMelech cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about what he's suffering when he flees from his son Avshalom. Hashem Rabu tzoroi, how many and how great are my enemies. Rabin komim olai, many or great ones rise up against me. And they say, Rabim omim lenafshi, they say about my soul, about my life, ein yeshuasa lo be'lokim, sela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never save David, he's lost forever. And you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, protect me, and I cry out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're the one who supports me, I won't be afraid of them, and you'll eventually, shinei rishoyim shibarta, you'll be the one who'll see to it that the rishoyim get their punishment. Their teeth will be broken. But this is all what David HaMelech says to Hashem when he davens and he pours out his heart. Right here when he's getting the curse, he accepts it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with it. Ula yira Hashem be'eini. Perhaps Hashem will see my eyes that have been crying and the tears. The way it's written, the ksiv is like ba'oni. Hashem will see my suffering, my affliction. Both meanings have a connotation that is something to learn from. His suffering and his crying. V'heshiv Hashem li tova. Hashem will repay me with good. Tachas kilaloso hayom hazeh. In place of his curse this day. And again, the ksiv is kilalosi, my curse. It's as if David's saying, this curse is something I deserve. Hashem will pay me back good, tachas kilalosi, in place of the curse that I'm suffering this day. Or it can mean kilaloso, the curse of Shimi. The fact that Avshalom rose up against him, that was foretold by the Navi. That was going to happen to David because of the Aveiros he did. But this scorn of Shimi was not predicted before, was not foretold, was not part of the deal. This is perhaps extra yisurim, extra punishment. And for the extra punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pay me back extra good. V'heishiv Hashem li tov, and Hashem will do good with me. Rav Palm used to say, that when a person gets yisurim in this world, whatever suffering you have in this world saves a person a lot of anguish in Olam Haba. In other words, whatever a person's payback in this world, two people could have done the exact same amount of mitzvahs and had the exact same level of ruchnius, but if one guy had suffered, it's understandable. The one who suffered should have a better Olam Haba than the one who had an easy life, even if they reached the same level of Avodas Hashem. So Yisurim HaMechaper, Yisurim accomplish great things, even though we don't want it. But he used to say there's one type of Yisurim that counts as Yisurim, and if we could get used to taking it, you gain a lot and it doesn't hurt. And he said if a person's able to take an insult, he's able to take a slight to his honor, he's able to take an embarrassment. If somebody treats you wrong, it doesn't physically hurt you, it's not like you're in pain. So if a guy can put his honor aside and figure, you know, okay, he was insulted and the guy didn't care about him and he didn't treat him with the right respect. Okay, it's Yisurim. He's suffering. He's suffering in this world. But if a person would just realize that, you know, accept it, that's obviously what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and he didn't get the honor that he felt he deserved. Okay, so it's Yisurim, and in Olam Haba, he'll be paid back. He'll be give him a tremendous schar in Olam Haba. Beheshiv Hashem li toiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me back good in place of what I'm suffering today. And it doesn't hurt. Okay, it bruised his ego. But okay, he can survive with it. If a person can get over that, learn how to take an insult, he gains a lot. Vayelech David v'anoshav badorech. David and his men went on the road. It could be they went on the road, meaning they followed the same path that David HaMelech said, leave Shimei alone. They continued on the same way. They left Shimei alone. They didn't do anything to him. And it could be also the Chiddush was, they went on the same road, v'shimi holeich b'tzela ha'har. Shimi's going on the side of the mountain, Lumaso, opposite them. As they're walking on the road, he's going parallel to them, holoch v'yakalel. He's walking and he's cursing. V'yisakel bo'avonim Lumaso. And he's throwing stones opposite him, toward David and David's men. V'ipar be'ofar. And it seems like he was afraid. He saw there was no reaction. He's cursing. He's throwing stones. There's no reaction. So he takes dirt. And he starts throwing dirt. At least it should make a cloud of dust. They should notice that he's there. They're ignoring him. But so this constant, he's walking along. And they kept on going Badarach on the same road. It wasn't like they figured, let's turn somewhere else. Why should we listen to him? But they're going on the road and they're listening to Shimei. And he's going ahead and making a scene, a public scorn of David. And they continued. Vayavoh HaMelech v'chol ha'om. The king and all the people came, Asherito, all the people with him, they came ayefim, weary. I'm sure both physically, they're walking on foot, apar azesim. And also mentally and emotionally suffering. They came in all fatigued, vayinofesham, and they finally rested in this place, Bachurim. He came, it says that Shimei was going b'tzela ha'har, in Pasuk Yud Gimel. On the tzela, the Pasuk means the side of the mountain. But it's a reference, it says when Hashem made the wife for Adam, when he created Chava, by even as hatzela, he built that, the rib, he built the side that he took from Adam and he made Chava out of it. Tzela is referring to his wife. It's almost as if Shimei, as he was going b'tzela ha'har, he was again emphasizing the fact that who David took for a wife. He's mentioning the fact that David took Bathsheba. There's a pasuk, ki ani l'tzela nochon. David HaMelech said, I'm prepared for this suffering. And this is again what Shimei had referred to, v'hincha v'ra'asecha, we had before. You're still persisting with your evil. You're the man of bloodshed, and you've taken Bathsheba. Pasuk Tesvav. V'avshalom v'chol ha'om. Avshalom and all of the people, Ish Yisrael, all of the Ish Yisrael, Bo Yerushalayim, they came to Yerushalayim, V'Achisofel Ito, and Achisofel was with him. Now we're turning our attention back to Avshalom. Okay, David HaMelech is fleeing, he's putting up with Shimi ben Gera, we're back to Avshalom. Avshalom is in Yerushalayim, and Achitofel, who had been an advisor of David, now had joined Avshalom. Vayihin it was, Kashabo Hushai Ho'arki. David HaMelech had this friend Hushai. He was the Reye David, the friend of David. And he had come to David, and David said, go back to Yerushalayim, and from Yerushalayim you could be of assistance. So when Hushai Ho'arki, the friend of David, came El Avshalom to Avshalom, Vayomer Hushai El Avshalom. So Hushai said to Avshalom, Yechi HaMelech! Long live the king! Yechi HaMelech, the king should live! That was the way he greeted. Now, David seemed to... When David told Hushai how to deal with Avshalom, he gave him a very ambiguous term. In Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, we had the way he discussed, he said to Avshalom, say, Avdecha, Ani, HaMelech, Eye, Eved Avicha, V'ani, Meyoz. The whole wording of the pasuk was very unclear, as if he didn't want to clearly say that he was endorsing Avshalom. But here, at least in the opening salutation, Hushai says, Yechi HaMelech, the king should live, Yechi HaMelech, the king should live, referring to Avshalom, at least superficially, unless you want to say he had in mind David. But the king should live. Vayomer Avshalom al Hushai. So now Avshalom says to Hushai, Who are you fooling? You come to me and you make it sound like I should live as king. You're the good friend of David, I know. This is the kindness that you show your friend. Why didn't you go with your friend David? He obviously didn't realize that Hushai was with David and David had sent him. As far as he sees, he comes to Yerushalayim and in walks Hushai. And Hushai pretends he's on the side of Avshalom. And there's two complaints here. First of all, Zechas Chosreyecha. Are you a friend? This is the way you treat David HaMelech. And secondly, how do you expect me to trust you? If you have some rationale why you abandoned David and you came to me, don't expect me to trust you. You can explain, perhaps, how you left David. But, Lama lo halachtas reyecha, why didn't you go with him? If you didn't stay by him, I wouldn't be able to trust you. So you're coming to me as Yechi HaMelech, I can't accept you as part of the royal cabinet. Vayomer Hushai el Avshalom. And again, Hushai's job was not just to be in Yerushalayim and to stay alive. He's supposed to get close to Avshalom to help David know what the plans are and to help out David. So he doesn't want Avshalom to say, okay, go home and be well. He's got to be part of the royal household. So Hushai says to Avshalom, lo, that's not so. Why are you calling me the friend of David? I'm not the friend of David. I do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I'm a servant of Hashem. Ki Asher Bachar Hashem, the one who Hashem chooses. V'ha'am Hazem, this people, v'chol Ish Yisrael, and the whole Jewish nation, lo eyeh, we read it as if it's lo with a lamed vav, to such a person I will be, v'ito eshev, and I will live and I will dwell with such a person. I'm not the friend of David. I am the friend of the king of Klal Yisrael. I'm a friend of the one that Hashem wants. And it's clear that Hashem wants you, Avshalom. So when David was the king, I was on his side. And as long as Hashem wants Avshalom, I'm with you. And you can trust me. Because as long as you're the king, I'm with you. I'm here to do the Ratzon Hashem. The Ksiv is low. Because as he's saying these words, it could be he's telling him, even though you might have been chosen, V'ha'am Hazeh, especially the people in Yerushalayim might have wanted Avshalom, but lo eyeh, I will not be. The word lo can mean, I will not be with such a person, v'ito eshev, and live with him. But of course, the simple meaning is the kri, that he's telling Avshalom that, of course, whoever Hashem chose, and this people, and everyone, Lo Eya, I will be with you. Vashenis, in the second point, I'm really not turning against David. I'm not going against David. Lemi ani evod. Who am I serving now? Halo lifnei v'no. I'm serving the son of my good friend David. Kasher avadati lifnei avicha, like I served before your father, kein eya lefanecha. That's the way I plan to serve before you. Meaning Hushai, and this is going to be very critical for the stories that are following. Hushai is going to present it to Avshalom. He's going to say something that Avshalom wants to hear. Avshalom is not a rebel. And Avshalom is not out to kill David. David HaMelech was planning to make his son Shlomo the king. And the kingship should go to Avshalom. The people want him. Hashem wants it. He's the one who can fill the role. And therefore, Avshalom is coming to Yerushalayim. David's not out to fight. David left on foot. David left on foot, and he's telling Avshalom, don't worry, we're going to make peace here. David will see that the people want you as the king, and then he'll probably come back as the king emeritus. Or maybe he'll come back with an understanding that you'll follow him after he dies. There's no irrevocable damage done. The people wanted Avshalom. David left Yerushalayim, and now Avshalom came into Yerushalayim. But this can, the same way now the people accepted you as king, the same way I was good friends with David, I'm serving you and you're David's son, and therefore everything can work out peacefully. I'm not turning against David. Everything will work out well in the end. We just have to make a point that you should be the king after David. And once David realizes he'll be king after, he'll drop this idea of Shlomo HaMelech. Vayomer Avshalom al Achitofel. Avshalom says to Achitofel. Achitofel was the advisor. Hovulachem Eitzah Manasseh. Give for yourself an advice what we should do. And that term Hovulachem is in the plural. It's as if on one hand he's speaking to Achitofel, on the other hand he's addressing it to both of them, Achitofel and Hushai, or Achitofel and all of the people who were there. We're open to suggestions. What should we do now? But when he wants to hear what to do, he first speaks to Achitofel. Achitofel was the main advisor that David was so afraid of because his advice was right on target. And Achitofel has a plan. And the plan is going to be in the next perek. But he says, before he gives his main advice, he says the following. Vayomer Achitofel al Avshalom. Achitofel says to Avshalom, Bo el pilag she'ovicha. Live with the Pilagshim, consort with the Pilagshim of your father. If you take these concubines of David, and you take them to be yours, Asher hiniach lishmor haboyis, David HaMelech left these Pilagshim to guard the house, as if David plans to come back. He's planning to come back to Yerushalayim. He left the women there. Why did he leave? He left the helpless Pilagshim there. David HaMelech left on foot. It's not clear. Are you going to make peace with David or not? But he left these women, Lishmar HaBois, to guard the house. In order for this revolt to work, he tells Avshalom, you have to make it clear that this is war. Not that you might turn and get on David's side. Because if you make peace with David, anybody who backed you will be guilty for rebelling against the throne. If you're going to make peace with David, and David will live out the rest of his life as the king, and you'll be the successor, but if David's going to take back the monarchy, anybody who backed you will be guilty of Mori B'malchus. You got to make it clear this is a rebellion, and whoever's on your side can be secure that they are on your side and you're the king, and there won't be any reproachment. And this is an absolute split. V'shama kol Yisrael ki nivashta savicha. If you do such an action, all of Klal Yisrael will hear that you're on bad terms with your father. That's it. You're not going to be making peace with David. V'chazku yidei kol asher itach. And that will strengthen the hands of everybody who's with you. Remember, Yaakov had a son, Reuven. Exactly what Reuven did, the Gemara says he wasn't chote. But what Reuven did was, he mixed up the bed, whatever, he did something with the bed of Bilhah, with Yaakov Avinu's wife. Once Reuven did that, whatever his reasons were, that's something that was so terrible, he lost the Bechayra. Reuven lost the Bechayra. If you do this, it will be clear that David will never accept you as the successor. You'll never be the king after David if you take David's pilakshim and you do this. Now Hushai was quiet. Could be he realized at this point he couldn't, the idea was so clear of Achitophel, he couldn't oppose it. Perhaps that was his reason. Again, Hushai was hoping that he was going to present himself as a friend of David and a friend of Avshalom, and everything can be peaceful again. And Achitophel's advice is the exact opposite. But before Achitophel suggests in the next perek that they should go after David to kill him, before he even says that, he says the first thing is, after hearing Hushai's words, he couldn't just go ahead and, let's say, go after David. The first thing he says is just go ahead and live with the pilakshim. Then after that we can talk. Then there'll be such a split. Then he'll give his advice. Vayatul Avshalom ha'ol al Agog. They set up a tent on the roof. Could be it's reminiscent that whole Avera with Bathsheba started when he went for a walk on the roof. But they set up this tent al Agog, or it could be just in general. Everybody should see that there's a tent on the roof and something's going on. Vayavo Avshalom el Pilag she'oviv. La'inei kol Yisrael. Pasha, they didn't see anything. They saw him go into the tent. But it was so obvious that they made a public thing that Avshalom is going ahead and taking David HaMelech Pilakshim. And he's secluded with them in this tent on the roof. Avshalom went to Pilakshim Oviv La'inei kol Yisrael. Everyone was aware of it. This is a public disgrace. And for Avshalom to do this to David, it was absolute. At this point, it's clear that it's no longer possible for there to be any reconciliation. Va'atzas Achisofel, the advice of Achisofel, asher yo'atz v'yomim ahem, the advice that he gave in those days, kasher yishal vidvar ho'elokim, we read the word ish, kasher yishal ish, it would be like a person asking vidvar ho'elokim, you're asking advice from God himself. Whatever Achitofel said was the advice. What Hashem, it was as if you'd be asking Hashem. His advice was always right on target. Cain kol atzas Achisofel. So too was all the advice of Achisofel. Gam le David, also for David. He had been an advisor of David. And gam le Avshalom, now for Avshalom. The advice of Achisofel is always right on target. And by doing this, this was the best thing. Not for his neshama, and not for, but in terms of making a rebellion, in terms of taking over the throne, by taking the pilakshim, he can be assured that everyone who backed him will know that they can be strengthened, they can be assured that of backing Avshalom, Avshalom will be the king, and there's no turning back. This is an absolute rebellion. This pasuk is also here, because in the next perek, you have to keep this in mind. Hushai is going to have one idea, Achisofel is going to have another idea, and if you follow the advice of Achitofel, it's successful, and we'll see what Avshalom does.